when I read in the book that the Order of Nine Angles believes that human sacrifice can be used to direct energy to draw down forces, I can't help but think of Peter LaVenda.
The Dark Gods, right. You're opening portals to bring in the Dark Gods.
You're listening to Conspiracy Theories in Unpopular Culture. I am your host, Isaac Weishaupt, of no relation to Adam Weishaupt from the Bavarian Illuminati. Thank you very much. Today we are joined by a special guest. It's been too long since we've had this special guest. He's one of the first guests I've ever had. Back in the day, we talked about the West Memphis 3. I was so new to podcasting. This is back in good night, 2013, 2014, I don't know. I had a piss poor set of audio software set up, and I've always felt bad. I think about it every time I hear his wonderful name. He was on Tinfoil Hat recently, and my man Sam Tripoli adored him so, and he made me proud, you know? So today's guest, without further ado, is William Ramsey. Yes, William Ramsey, the guy who you can always count on to have a book that's well-researched, full of citations, connections to the occult. He'll really make you think twice about all these conspiracy theories, and you'll say, well, here's a guy who really knows his stuff, and that's why I like him so much. That's why I had him back on the show, because my man dropped a new book, and this book will blow your mind. It'll blow your mind like it did mine. We're talking about the Global Death Cult, the Order of Nine Angles, Atewaffen, and the Slaughter of the Innocents. Sounds scary. Well, it's a spooky season for a reason, folks. And you're about to get real scared. This is one of the darkest themes I've ever researched. And he's going to tell you all about it. But I assure you, his book goes much deeper. So deep. But it won't put you to sleep, like Ice Cube told you. It's all about this satanic group, this Order of Nine Angles, and how they tie into Nazis. And William gives some specific names. He's calling them out. He wants all the smoke. He's calling out the names of these people. And we talk about David Myatt, a.k.a. Anton Long, the guy who founded this group, and his interactions with Michael Aquino. And we even talk about how Michael Aquino, you know, his mysterious death. We talk about Henry Lee Lucas and the Hands of Death, Les Claypool and Sean Lennon. We talk about channeling these dark gods, the Black Mass, the Mass of Heresy. Hitler was an avatar. That's what they believe. They think Hitler was sent to us from the gods, and they're here to continue his work. Sounds crazy, but we're going to get into it. Human sacrifice is a big element, and we'll talk about the Truther community. Were they and are they currently actively being infiltrated by white supremacists? It's all here. And at the very end, stick around for the very end, because we're going to drop a truth bomb on that ass. And the truth bomb, I'm going to give you a hint. The hint is Jay-Z is now worshiping Satan. That's my hint, okay? It's Illuminate Confirm on Jay-Z, so you got to stick around for that. Without further ado, let's get into the interview. All right, we're joined again today by repeating champ, William Ramsey. Mr. William Ramsey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back on your show, Isaac.
Yeah, thanks. We're discussing your new book, hot off the heels of your Tinfoil Hat appearance, which I got to say you did a killer job. I'd be lying if I didn't say I was just a little bit jealous to hear Sam talk about how great you were, and I felt a little bit like, oh man, he's trying to steal my man, my bromance there.
But no, but you've been on that show like 10 times. I mean, you were
I joke. No, that was a great show, man. I thought that was good. The only thing, because I listened to it and I wanted to get into your book, Global Death Cult, because I've read it, right? I read that book and I read a
book called Infernal Geometry and the Left-Hand Path, The Magical System of the Nine Angles. And I think, and obviously in the Infernal Geometry book, it is written by the occultist and they don't talk about the same things you talk about. But
the one by Toby Chappelle and Michael Aquino.
Yeah, that's it.
So that's the Temple of Set. So the Order of Nine Angles group is different than Michael Aquino's group.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. And that's what I want to get into here with you. But before we get into that, what's new in your world? We discussed your Smiley Face Killers documentary back in 2018. And if I'm not mistaken, you disappeared from social media entirely since then. What's been going on the last few years?
I destroyed, you know, the Borg system, the big tech, trying to make smallest as possible. So I basically incinerated my Facebook and Twitter page, and I'm still very glad that I did. So, people should not let these big tech people get big. So that's my opinion. So I'm happy to be off of big tech. I'm now on Gab, MeWe, Minds, Odyssey, and StreamYard, some smaller kind of tech sites.
Okay. All right. And we'll I'll get those links from you so people looking to find you can make contact there. And you've been busy, right? I read this book. It's extremely thorough. It's well cited, as all your books are, and the book in question is called Global Death Cult, The Order of Nine Angles, Atomwaffen, and the Slaughter of the Innocents, which sounds like a great band name, but
right, a death metal band or something.
You lay out some pretty wild connections that I'd like to get into, and I think maybe a good place to start would be to define or maybe discuss the differences in these different groups that are either or satanic or magical. You know, we've got groups like the Church of Satan, the Temple of Set, the Order of Nine Angles. And, you know, is there a clear distinction between the three, or is there overlapping?
I think there's definitely a clear distinction. So I think that the Temple of Set came out of the Church of Satan. So it was LaVey, and then Michael Aquino was a breakaway and started the Temple of Set, wrote a book called Coming Forth by Night, a really long book involved a little bit of Crowley, but he actually just died a couple years ago, and I did a show about his death where apparently it looks like he shot himself in the head and killed himself, I think in 2019, 2020, but at 72. But so that's a difference. And then within the Temple of Set, they have a ritual of the nine angles, and then another group kind of popped up out of England, and their specific title is Order of Nine Angles. And there's actually in my book, I have something called the Satanic Letters of Anton Long, where there's actually an argument between the head of the Order of Nine Angles, David Myatt, and Aquino talking about their nine angles and why then the differentiation between that term and the group, the Temple of Set and the Order of Nine Angles.
Interesting. Now, you mentioned Michael Aquino, and I emailed. Okay, so I had read on, I don't know if it was Reddit or Twitter, something about Michael Aquino dying, and this was maybe, I should have wrote the date down because I got these notes about this in case this came up. But it was about a year, maybe 2 years ago or three.
And I think it was 2019.
2019? Okay.
Yeah, late 2019.
And I couldn't confirm that he died. So I actually emailed the executive director of the Temple of Set, and this person, Lincoln Shaw, Magister Templi, wrote me back and said, please go to Dr. Aquino's personal page, give me a link. But when you go to that link, when you go to Aquino's page, it gives this cryptic statement, and it says he passed away in the 54th year of the Aeon of Set. And I wrote Lincoln Shaw back and said, I've got the verbatim here. I said, I understand the Aeon of Set started in 1975 after the completion of the Age of Satan, which ran from 66 to 75. Thus, Mr. Aquino's webpage says that the 54th year of the Aeon of Set, on September 1st, he remanifested from his physical body. And if my math is correct, adding 54 years to 1975, that takes me to 2029. So, you know,
I don't know. I don't know when the Aeon of Set started.
Maybe that's where I'm confused. Is that what they say,
75?
Yeah, that's what I found. But the person, this Lincoln Shaw, never wrote me back. And I thought, well, this is really bizarre. I mean, is it possible this guy's not even dead? And why would that be?
According to George from CavDev, who was on a show with me talking about the life and death of Michael Aquino, he got his death certificate. And on the death certificate, he killed himself in San Francisco, where he had lived for a long time. I think it was on Leavenworth Street. But you can see that, I think if you can go to George's site, you can see the death certificate for Michael Aquino.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So I'm pretty sure that is a legit doc, and that it was obtained through, you know, the state agencies in California. So he's dead. He died. He shot himself in the head at 72. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Or good to know.
Suicided, you know, I don't know.
Well, you've been, and I didn't know you had a podcast episode. You've been working more diligently on that podcast, William Ramsey Investigates. Is that an ongoing thing for you still?
Yeah. So I've been putting a lot more time and effort into it since I got kicked off of YouTube, and I'm finding that people are enjoying it. So I've just been working on it, and I've got a lot of different stuff and kind of not so much just focused on the occult. So I have books, history, current events, true crime. So it's covering a lot of themes, kind of just not going over the same stuff that I've been going over for a long time. But yeah, I think people are enjoying it. Seems like it's doing well.
Yeah, I often think of how, you know, when I first made contact with you, I read the West Memphis 3 book. And I often think, man, if you would have got into true crime podcasting back then, and was it like 2011, 2010?
I'd own like 6 houses.
I'm telling you. Yeah, that's pretty wild. What's happened. And you know my sob story. I've given up on YouTube a long time ago when they kicked me out in 2017, which was a blessing in disguise, because that was when I decided to fully invest into podcasting. And, you know, here I am just podcasting away, because that's the last thing they have to take away from me. So
yeah, or us in general. It's all of us too. So I feel like I'm not being censored. I'm free. And I don't even swear or really say anything that, you know, controversial. I mean, maybe some stuff, but yeah, it's crazy that that's the only place that people can be free and talk freely now is something else.
Yeah, it is crazy. And that's unfortunate. And I also feel like it's pretty clear, you know, not to switch it over to current events, but it's pretty clear that there is definitely an attempt to link conspiracy theory with domestic terrorism through many, many avenues, which is super concerning, right? I mean, like I said, every truther goes through this censorship phase. And even if you try to be respectful and you know, you try not to swear, you try to fact check and you try to use citations, they still find a way to censor you. And that's a real problem. And that's one of the reasons why I feel like this isn't really a sustainable, you know, business model, because it's just a matter of time before they fully kick all of us off like they did Alex Jones.
Yeah, I think it's probably the next step. But yeah. At least the podcasts are free right now. I think the thing is that the content creators have to recognize that they're the ones with the actual value. You know, they're the ones that are actually producing content, not YouTube. So people will typically follow the content creator if they can find out where they are next. But yeah, it's kind of like the Led Zeppelin kind of like you know, stadium kind of conflict where Led Zeppelin realized that they were the draw, not these big stadiums that were trying to, you know, shaft them for huge fees. They just decided we'll go play wherever we want, and people follow them. So I think if the content creators can keep moving Rockfin, other platforms, you know, hopefully the censorship will end. It's just a matter of some of these platforms staying independent. Gab stays independent. You know, then we're in decent shape. But it is crazy. It is crazy that these big tech companies are allowed to violate kind of constitutional prohibitions on allowing free speech. It's incredible.
Yeah, they've got quite the way around it by saying, well, these are private corporations and they do what they want. And, you know, these private corporations have all these lobbyists, and they're essentially the oligarchy type government figures calling the shots. So it's like, it's a real messy deal we've been in the last few years, but
yeah, very messy.
Anyway, getting back to the book, the, you know, one of the overall themes, when I got done reading it, like one big takeaway is it seems to me like there's Nazi, sort of Nazism tied into satanic doctrine.
Yes.
And, you know, the Satanism, you're kind of more or less connecting Satanism with Nazism. And someone made a statement in your book that you refer to about how they're both very passionate systems to live life to the fullest. I don't remember who said that in the book, but someone had said that. And I found that all very disturbing, as if either one by themselves wasn't bad enough. You're sort of suggesting they both maybe go hand in hand?
Well, at least in this context, I think within the context of the Order of Nine Angles, definitely the occultism came out of Nazism. So David Myatt said that Nazism was a perfect satanic system. And so if you look at the themes of Nazism and their ideology and the occultism, there's a lot of overlap. And how much of the Nazi party's doctrines were actually occult is another large question. And Hitler's, you know, triumph of the will, we can get into that in great detail. But I do think that in this context of the Order of Nine Angles, Adam Waffen, and the occult, there's clearly overlaps. And even we talked about Michael Aquino. Michael Aquino had a kind of Nazi SS fetish. There's pictures of him holding an SS blade. So you can see this overlap is not just – the overlap between occultism and Nazism is not just in the Order of Nine Angles. I think it's within the occult. And there's larger questions as to why – there's occultism, and you can talk about the Black Sun motif, which flows through Nine Angles and Adam Waffen, which comes from Wavelsberg and the SS and Himmler, and all the runic type of stuff, which still kind of some of that stuff comes into modern occultism. So I think that there's definitely a overlap in those two sets of doctrines. Mm.
Yeah, there always seems to be some kind of white supremacist link to the you know, the Vikings and the Nordics and stuff like that, and I didn't really ever understand why that was exactly. It's not a subject I'm super familiar with, but the book, it goes through these different players involved with this Order of Nine Angles, and there's a couple of names in here, and I wasn't familiar with who they were until I read the book. A guy named David Myatt that you mentioned, and then a guy named David Copeland. Could you tell us how these two sort of fit into the big scheme of things?
Sure. David Myatt came up and probably is the main head of kind of formulating the ideology of the Nine Angles, but he came up through the National Socialist Movement in the UK. So he's associated with a lot of kind of far-right figures that here in the States we wouldn't know. But he was associated, and they keep changing their names, kind of rebranding as they came under government, you know, attention. But really what happened is David Copeland became something that David Myatt was involved in called the National Socialist Movement. And Copeland is known in the UK, really globally, as the London Nail Bomber. And he built three bombs in a succession of weekends. And he was a Nazi. He was an avowed Nazi and still is, and blew up these bombs in certain parts of London. One was, I believe, Indian influenced, another African, and another was kind of LGBT in a bar, and killed a number of people, maimed tons of people, like 500 people in one bomb got injured. So he's kind of a notorious figure. There's actually a really good documentary on Netflix about David Copeland right now. And you kind of see some people that I've talked to when I research this book, characters from a group called Hope Not Hate, which is an anti kind of fascist group in London. But the connection between Myatt and Copeland is through this group. How much Myatt influenced Copeland to do the bombing is another question. Myatt never got prosecuted, but Copeland went to jail for the rest of his life. So he's kind of a notorious figure in the Nazi figure. In part of this kind of Nazi underground in the UK that never really got traction with the larger population. People just didn't seem to warm up to a lot of their ideas. And I think that's why that frustration of not obtaining kind of the social approval, a larger, broader social appeal, is why David Myatt also started this group the nine angles to kind of meld Nazism and occultism and influence society in a different way, but with Nazi ideas of kind of like evolutionary change, dark imperium, creating kind of your own cellular and almost like a terroristic cell structure, which is how the book got its title called Global Death Cult, because there's these little cells all throughout the world called in the nine angles Nexians, but they've been dispersed all over the world. And there's a lot of people kind of following some of the ideology of the Order of Nine Angles within the last 3 weeks. There were two people in Russia associated with the Order of Nine Angles who killed two people. So it's still happening now. Yeah. So there's been a lot of things, even since I kind of put the book out in May or June, a lot of things have happened in the last 3 months that are pretty shocking. Like one of these characters with an offshoot of this group called Sonic Krieg Division got put in jail for the rest of his life. His name was Dymock, who I wrote about in the book, but it just kind of like he ended up getting sentenced in the UK. So there really is this far right, find a dark far right occultism that is started in the UK and has spread out and influenced a lot of far right groups in the US, such as Adam Offen.
Interesting. Now, you said that documentary on Netflix was called Hope, Not Hate?
No, it was about the nail bomber. Let me see if I can find the title of it. Yeah, it's about David Copeland. But it's pretty good. It's
Yeah, and in the book you were saying that David Copeland was fascinated by, you know, a bunch of psychopaths, including a guy named Henry Lee Lucas. And, you know, I'm not sure if you know who Henry Lee Lucas is, but there's allegations that he was tied into this Hands of Death assassination satanic cult, and right. He was buddies with the Bushes. Do you know anything about that?
He was the only person pardoned in Texas. You know, all other people got the death penalty, but he was the only person sentenced to death who got pardoned under Bush. The title of the nail bomber documentary is titled Nail Bomber Manhunt, and it came out in May.
Got it.
But okay. I have a long section in my book about Copeland. But, yeah, no, so there's the Hand of Death, and I think he was hanging out with this other very scary character, Otis Toole, who's like a cross-dresser. They were just something else. How many people Lucas supposedly killed is an open debate, but he was not up to good stuff. I mean, I think he claimed like he killed 500 people, but it turned out to be fictional. It turned out to not be true.
You think there's any? I mean, it is weird that Governor Bush at the time pardoned this one and only guy who was supposed to be tied into this, you know, murder cult or something like that. That is kind of bizarre, especially given all the 9/11 weird stuff with the Bush family.
Yeah, no, very weird. Very strange. Yeah.
Now, in chapter 2, you go through, some of the early manuscripts of the Order of Nine Angles, and you found a whole lot in here. I'm not sure which one you want to sort of dive into, but these are all topics that I'm interested in. We talk about there's sigils and contacting entities and using black mass and the mass of heresy and all that kind of stuff. I found this to be extremely fascinating. What was your take reading through these manuscripts?
Well, you can just see how a new group can build upon the cult ideas of the past and kind of reform them. So you can see like this guy, Myatt, in my readings clearly was influenced by Crowley and then kind of updated it. But you can see all these rituals that are written down in his books. I mean, I think some of the main books that you kind of still see around today is Hostia, the Secret Teaching, and the Order of Nine Angles. The other is the Black Book of Satan and Naos. So they have these kind of external ritual type stuff, and then they have internal rituals. But I think what's important is that this group started pre-internet, pre-book. They were just putting out little three-page pamphlets. And those three-page pamphlets grew into six-page and to nine, and then just kind of grew into these manuscripts. These manuscripts grew into books. But I do see that, like, the Order of Nine Angles core thing is the septenary way, the sevenfold path, where you go from kind of an initiate to the seventh level. And you're supposed to do active things to attain those levels. You're supposed to do inside rolls. You're supposed to go out in darkness and sleep overnight, really not sleep, but lie down from sundown to sunrise without moving. So if you attain, you can attain these certain levels. And really the kind of title of my book is Global Death Cult. They go to this fifth level of the septenary way. You're supposed to find what they call an Opfer, which is a German word for a sacrifice, find somebody and kill them. And that's really kind of the core thing that makes the Order of Nine Angles, if somebody's really a practitioner of it, so dangerous, is that they believe in human culling or murder.
And that's and there's a section in there where, I'm trying to find it in my notes here, they talk about the human sacrifice, which, you know, they refer to as calling. And I couldn't help but think about the eugenics stuff and Hitler, and how, you know, Hitler at the time could have said to trust the science. And of course they had pseudoscience. But it's interesting how they sort of believe in this scientific idea of eugenics and a superior master race. But what's really interesting is that in the book, it talks about human sacrifice, which is this powerful magic that, like a magic ritual that releases energy. And that's something that's, you know, they've talked about this for hundreds of years with the, like the Mayans and stuff like that. But to me, they sort of reveal their actual plan here. And they say they use it to, they want to use that energy to draw down dark forces.
Right.
And I couldn't help but think about Peter Lavenda, because I don't know if you've read the book he wrote with Tom DeLonge about the alien phenomenon.
The Secret book. Machines?
Yeah, Secret Machines.
No, I've not read that, but I've seen it.
So in Secret Machines book one, which, you know, we were talking offline a little bit, it seems very much like Peter Lavenda wrote that book, not Tom DeLonge. In the book, he goes through great pains. I mean, we're talking probably 5% of the book, 10 pages maybe, to discuss the historical idea of human sacrifice.
Wow.
And I find it so bizarre. And I'm like, what are they doing? Why are they trying to, like, sort of make acceptable this idea of human sacrifice? It's kind of how I look at it. And when I read in the book that the Order of Nine Angles believes that human sacrifice can be used to direct energy to draw down forces, I can't help but think of Peter Lavenda.
The dark gods, right. You're opening portals to bring in the dark gods.
Yeah. Yes. That Typhonian OTO, which is Kenneth Grant's version of the OTO.
Right.
But yeah, all these...
Somebody made that connection for me. I did not make the Kenneth Grant connection, but somebody who I interviewed with said that, yeah, that seems very similar to Kenneth Grant's ideas.
Interesting.
And it does. And it is very similar, actually.
Yeah, and I can't help but... And that's what I, you know, I wrote two alien books in the last year, and that was kind of the more extreme end of, you know, because I try to be pretty rational about things and not go too crazy, but I floated the idea that it's possible that they want us to sort of believe in aliens so that they can manifest them, and then eventually they'll look for blood sacrifice to the aliens for whatever reason they'll come up with. I mean, we're talking 10 years down the road, 15 years, whatever, however long this agenda could take. And it's because, and the reason why I say that is because of reading this book with Peter Lavenda, and now to hear that this sort of satanic Nazi group is advocating for the same thing. I don't know. It's also disturbing. It makes you wonder if the powers that be, what do you anticipate the powers that be, like this Illuminati we always talk about, this umbrella group of control? Do you think there's like a faction that are into really a lot of these dark things, or do you think the whole group would be into all of this really, you know, human sacrifice, satanic stuff?
I think when you get into the occult and you get up to the higher levels, you get into human sacrifice. I think that's where the darkest part of occultism gets to. So as far as the elite or the occult elite, I think that there's similarities between the ideology of the Order of Nine Angles and some of these other people, where you're killing people to facilitate aeonic change, to facilitate evolutionary change, to move society forward, get rid of the dross and the chaff. And if you look at even Nazism, that's kind of the way they viewed the Jews and the Poles and the Russians. You know, these are people who are lesser than us. We're the master race. We have to get rid of them so we can have our utopia. And you see that within the Order of Nine Angles. And some of these elites, that's the way they view getting rid of a lot of people. All these people are polluting the earth. We have to subjugate them or undercut them and then find a way to kill them off, right? So that's the whole Georgia Guidestone stuff. Yeah, so as far as these overlapping ideas, I do think that the current dark cold elite of the world, or the New World Order, and the highest parts of the occult and the Order of the Nine Angles all have the same thing. It's all about murder. And then you go back to the Nazis too. So you can see these overlapping views. And I mean, it's really dark, but unfortunately that's the way these people thought. That's what people didn't get about Hitler until it was too late, is that he and his whole crew of monsters really did believe in evolutionary change through killing people, just like the Order of Nine Angles.
Interesting. Do you think that I was trying to make sense that there's this thing they call the 21 Dark Gods. Do you know any more on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, they have this in the original kind of the Order of Nine Angles ideas was an original document that the Dark Gods, you are supposed to presence them, right? And so I have a section in my book about the 21 Dark Gods and all of their kind of names and stuff like that, right? So, but they're all, it's actually, I didn't go into how sophisticated it was, but there are kind of constellations with stars where these dark gods come out of. So within the Order of Nine Angles, they kind of have this idea of certain constellations at certain times of years are supposed to bring these dark gods down, and you're actually supposed to bring them down and presence them yourself in your own body. Like, that's really how the Order of Nine Angles views it. So you're giving, some kind of presencing this. So you see that idea within the ONA. Like, for example, here's one thing from my book. It says, Stargate exists near the stars Dabi, Naos, and Algol. And so you would have these stargates, the gates to the gods within us and the gods without. So these gates would bring down these stuff. So that's the original stuff. And you can kind of see it in current ONA practice, where they do have these sigils to these dark gods. And there is a kind of manuscript where Myatt talks about how the ONA concept of their dark gods is similar but also different to the Lovecraft ideas of dark gods. So these dark gods are like gods of chaos and fear and dread, somewhat similar to kind of Lovecraft's kind of dark god mythos.
I've seen one of those sigils on that, I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head, the Sean Lennon and Les Claypool video with Aleister Crowley. Have you seen that?
No, I don't know what that is. I haven't seen it.
Oh, man. There's a video. Les Claypool, was he from Primus or something?
Primus, yeah.
Yeah, him and John Lennon's kid have a band together. I forget what it's called, like the Claypool-Lennon experiment or something weird like that. And I think it was their first video, and this is, I'm going back maybe 5 years now, and that sigil I saw in the book, I recognized it, and I looked through my sort of, my pictures on my hard drive that I've got categorized, and I saw it on that Les Claypool, Sean Lennon video. I found that extremely interesting.
That is interesting. Their band was the Claypool Lennon Delirium.
That's it, yep.
Have you ever seen Sean Lennon's kind of play on Lucifer Rising in one of his videos where he has the arrival of the aliens and everything?
No.
It's a full on satanic ritual, kind of like a cult ritual. It's off the charts.
Wow. Yeah. He must really be into this stuff then.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. But you were talking about the dark gods, and in the book you mention their belief is that man's consciousness needs to cross this abyss in order to make contact. And I got to think that that's how they justify this human sacrifice idea, that this energy of the human sacrifice somehow, I guess, makes this abyss, easier to sort of cross, or they use it as a sort of bridge. I don't really know. Clearly I've never practiced this.
Right. Well, thank God. I mean, yeah, I think that That's the whole idea. The let's see, what is the name of this film? I just saw it. I sent you like a link with imagery from the film of this. Where is it?
I've seen Lucifer Rising.
The name of the video is Animals by Sean Lennon. Check it out.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, that's fascinating because, I mean, John Lennon is a full subject in itself.
Full on, yeah, absolutely.
Now, another idea I wanted to hit on before we move on to the next topic. You talked about the Black Mass, and the recurring theme here that I'm trying to get at is there's energy involved in these rituals and these people that buy into this stuff, and it's not... I mean, it is different than what like a Christian's energy would be. Like a Christian would do a prayer, focusing energy towards God, whereas the Black Mass or this mass of heresy is using energy and directing it somewhere else, maybe to these demon, alien, dark gods or whatever they call it. But that mass of heresy is one particular kind of Black Mass. They believe that Hitler was sent to Earth by the gods. Is that right?
Something like that. I think that they see him as an avatar. So they time all of their dates from the year of Fiend, the year of rejoicing that Hitler was born in 1889. So he's almost kind of become a titanic figure within, or a godlike figure, not a god, within at least the ONA and some elements of kind of Nazism. If you look at Savitri Devi, she wrote a book called The Lightning and something else, but she actually kind of mixed with American far writers, but she saw Hitler as an avatar. There's another guy from Chile called Guerrero who saw Hitler as like a being that came from like Atlantis or what is the other name for it? It's kind of some place thousands of years ago. But so Hitler is definitely put on a pedestal within this group. And so you'll see the Hitlerism, but also, I mean, here it is. Adolf Hitler was sent by our gods to guide us to greatness. We believe in the inequality of races and the right of the Aryan to live. So, so they inculcated or integrated Hitlerism into kind of their occult religion.
Now, that leads me to a kind of a big question here. I wanted to ask your thoughts about Carrie Bolton, another one of these figures. Maybe you can, talk about who that is and why he shows up in your book.
Well, so there was this one section, we talked about Michael Aquino, but there was writing back and forth between David Mayan, Aquino, and some other members of the Temple of Set. And I thought they were very interesting because Mayan is arguing with the Temple of Set that they're kind of posers, that they're not, they're pseudo-Satanists. And the fact that the ONA relies upon killing people makes them the real Satanists, the real adversarial group. And so there's this back and forth, but then they start mentioning kind of other names. And one is Carrie Bolton, who is still around, from New Zealand, who's also a far rightist. They also mentioned the guy who wrote Lieber Null. What was the other one? It was The Psychonaut, and an introduction to chaos magic, Peter Carroll. So they're aware of kind of the occult milieu. They know about what's going on in the world. So that's why I kind of integrated this picture of Peter Carroll into the book. But I do think it's important to see the sensibilities of Myatt in writing and how they relate. And Michael Aquino sends something back to Myatt where he says, like, I respect you, but yeah, this is not us, and signed it with his own handwriting. So, so it's interesting to see that these guys know other members of kind of the occult community.
So Michael Aquino, from what we understand, would not be, he would not condone the human sacrifice idea. Is that kind of the gist of it?
At least the the overt statement of that, because Myatt hints that within the kind of inner core of the Temple of Set, they talk about that. That's what he hints at. He doesn't say it outright, but he says within the central parts of your group, you talk about this anyway. So it's just something that was in the writing of this these satanic letters, but yeah, he seems to Mayan seems to think that the Temple of Set just isn't hard enough to actually put it in writing.
Which I could see that, right? I mean, I can't imagine they would openly, suggest that kind of stuff should happen. Kind of like the Freemasons or many of these other secret societies, it's the idea is, what's the real hidden secret once you get to the stage of initiation where you get all the dirty sort of laundry? I guess that's the big question.
Right, so there's clearly in these groups, from my understanding, in OTO and ONA, there's an oral kind of non-written tradition that takes place. So some of the stuff that you can never see unless you're initiated. So I truly think that the Order of Nine Angles has kind of oral, A-U-R-A-L, kind of a tradition that's only passed around through talking. So there's definitely some stuff that we don't know. Or how hard it gets. But what they've written about culling, you know, it's like, here's a quote from Mayat writing, human sacrifice is a culling and an expression of Satanism in action. So, you know, he basically admits that.
Now, what do you think about, because when I read, okay, so like in the book, you suggest Kerry Bolton is into Aleister Crowley's religion, Thelema, and also presumably Satanism. When I look up Kerry Bolton online, he's got a Wikipedia, and the Wikipedia lists him as a Holocaust denier, which ties into that massive heresy topic where, they think Hitler was sent by the gods, and they believe in this inequality of the races and the master race and all that. But what's curious is that you mentioned that this Kerry Bolton person was on a guy named Kevin Barrett's Truth Jihad Radio, where Barrett praised him. And I looked him up because I didn't know who that was. And what was interesting is that several, it seems like this Kevin Barrett guy's, pretty big in the truther community. Like there's several people that I follow that follow Kevin Barrett.
I was on Kevin Barrett's show back in the day when I first published my first book, so there's probably an old interview of me with him.
So he's been around for a while then.
Yeah, a long time, yeah.
Do you think...
In his own section.
Do you think that he's... I don't know. Here's what I'm getting at. Do you think there's like this infiltration of the truther community with white supremacists, and they're trying to sort of float this idea to see if it can take... get traction in the truther community of... these kind of wild ideas of superior races and things like that. Do you think that that's a thing to be concerned with?
I think so. I think that there's all kinds of infiltration in what's like the truth or alternative community. And some people aren't buying some of the infiltration, but some are. So I do think that there's a concern out there. I mean, I would see that like characters like Richard Spencer would really want to be respected by everybody in the alternate community, but a lot of people aren't buying stuff. Apparently he has the idea of this, the kind of similar to the ONA of the white supremacists, colonizing the stars. Have you ever heard him say that? I don't know. I have to look into that. But somebody said that he's reflecting some of these ideas of this dark imperium that comes from Francis Parker Yockey. Whose ideas are clearly, integrated into ONA kind of ideology. But I do think that there are all kinds of definitely infiltrators of ideas. And then you got to kind of see for yourself what is the quote truther unquote community comprised of. How many people are, is it really homogeneous? I don't think it is. I come from kind of more of the Christian path. I mean, most of my books and my interviews were with Christians when I first wrote them. Yeah. So I come from that segment of it. And there's a whole segment of the alternate community has no idea what I've ever talked about ever. So they're on a whole new age side or whatever, or some other spiritual side, or, not too many occultists generally, or overt occultists seem to be very well received in the alternate media. But infiltration, I think there's a lot of, especially like 9/11 truth, there's tons of intel operatives and people like that shaping people and collecting information on people, no doubt.
Yeah, I feel like this is a much larger subculture than what I expected. And I think the, you know, the powers that be are pushing the censorship because this is a concern.
Yes.
And this community is growing, and the events of, you know, what transpired in 2020 have really sort of pushed people down this path, because a lot of people look at the official version of reality and say, well, I don't believe all this, so who am I going to believe? And, you know, the truther community kind of, you know, made its presence larger and has a bigger footprint. And that's why the censorship, if you ask me, is because they're concerned. And look, to play devil's advocate, like, maybe they've got a right to be concerned, because, you know, there could be that maybe there's white supremacist groups lurking. Maybe there's Satanists lurking. I don't know. I surely don't know the answer, but I have been concerned that there's a white supremacist sort of vibe going on in the truther community. Like, you remember that Red Ice Radio?
Yeah.
I used to listen to them back in the day, and I remember one episode, I don't remember when it was, 5, 6, 7 years ago, where he was going on and on about this race stuff, and I was like, whoa, that's kind of weird. And, you know, now he's got there's a whole Wikipedia page talking about how they're into this white supremacy stuff, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. So, well, you got to watch out for Wikipedia. Now it's kind of all just cover. Oh, the people who are writing a lot of those articles are part of the Orange and Purple Hair Brigade. Yeah. They're part of the far left, calling everybody who doesn't disagree, everybody who disagrees with them, far right.
So yeah, some it's of kind these of terms, a collective
gotta,
thing, huh?
Yeah, got to really be careful about Wikipedia these days. But yeah, I think that it is a concern. I think that people just have to be very, you know, critically analyze a lot of these stuff, because once you've kind of critically analyzed it, but I think the powers that be, generally the elite, the oligarchy that runs the United States, are terrified about the alternative media because they call all of their shenanigans out and talk about them. So it's not a surprise. Did you hear that in this new $3.5 trillion bill that they're trying to pass in Congress, there's a bailout for the corporate media and the left-wing media,
tells
you that nobody's watching. Yeah, well, yeah, because it tells you nobody's watching them. So they've lost all traction. In my opinion, my understanding, corporate media has lost all traction of really thinking people. Anybody critically analyzed? No, these guys are just lying constantly through their team, and really vicious propaganda too. So we're really in a vicious propaganda cycle I've never seen before in the history of the United States. And it should be of great concern to everybody how much, you know, yeah, it's just bad. It's just a bad situation.
Yeah, my take is always, like, you got to be real cautious when there's any connection to, you know, corporate America, because that's what, you know, all the mainstream news channels and cable news, you know, they're out there to make money. So, can you trust everything that they're saying? Not really. So, and it's hard, because it's hard to distinguish which parts can you trust and which parts can you not trust. And yeah, we're in a weird position right now, for sure. I got one more big one here. Another big gun from the book that kind of made my jaw drop when I read it. In chapter 7, you posted some writing from the Order of Nine Angles. I'm going to read you right from it. It says, who's going to run this town tonight? The shorter answer, we are. And you cited it. So I got to assume this was a verbatim straight from the literature of the Order of Nine Angles. And I'm sure you already know this, but do you recognize that as the lyrics to that Jay-Z song?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Right?
Yeah. So, like, back when I wrote my hip hop book, Sacrifice and Magic Behind the Mic, this is back in, I don't know, 2013-ish. That was that idea, and it might have even made it to my book, but I don't remember if I did or not. But either way, even if it did, I must have said there's an allegation, because I couldn't find a proof that this really existed, because that's the exact lyrics from the song he did with Rihanna and Kanye West, Who's Gonna Run This Town? That's the name of the song. And the song goes, who's going to run this town tonight? We are. Yeah, I said it. We are. That's what Jay-Z says. And that's verbatim from it. And it was only in the forums that I read people saying like, oh yeah, this was from a satanic. They even called it the Order of Nine Angles, which is.
Wow. So you think that he might have gotten it from the ONA, not the other way around. Is that what you're saying?
I guess I'd have to look at the years of when, like, when that the citation of where you got that from, and compare it to the year that song came out. Because that song,
when did that song come out?
Man, I don't even know. 2010 ish, give or take 5 years.
Right around that time. Wow, yeah, it's right around that time. I think a lot of her writing. I think that was something from the current outer head of the group, which was, probably 2008, 2010.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm definitely going to dig into that because when I read it in the forums, I could never validate it. So I was always kind of like, well, maybe. But I mean, this is probably just people saying crap that's not real. Either way, whether or not it was taken from Jay-Z or whether Jay-Z took it from the Order of Nine Angles, that's kind of bizarre, you know, given Jay-Z wears that, he had that Aleister Crowley hoodie on that says, "Do what thou wilt."
Right. Talks about Rain Man, all kinds of occult stuff, right?
Yeah. We're going back to the golden age of YouTube conspiracy videos, when they let them run wild.
Yeah, no, there's weird cross fertilization, but I think that like as the whole group progressed from a pre-internet phase to kind of seeding their ideas all throughout the world in real variations, like they didn't really have a. They weren't rigid doctrinarian type people like you've got to do this. They just put their ideas up out there and people picked them up. But as they kind of came out, they integrated the newer people, integrated things that they heard. There's certain initiation rituals that are the exact same as a mafia initiation ritual where you like pick your finger, put it on, write it down, something in a piece of paper and then burn it. So they've integrated ideas from other groups into the ONA as it is today. And that might be part of it is integrating ideas from Jay-Z.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, yeah, all right. Last question, because I know you got to go here. Do you think, because on our last show in 2018, we talked about the smiley face killers. Do you think that they are connected with these satanic Nazis? Do you think that's the same group maybe?
Well, it might be. I think that there's very similar ideology in between what people have speculated the Smiley Face Killers was and this group. But the introduction to this group is also an introduction into a lot of these occult underground literature, which I didn't really know existed. So I really tried to compile a lot of that stuff from these different Nexians, the Temple of Blood in the U.S., Order of Nine Angles. But, I mean, people who've researched it, the real thing that set me off on the ONA was an interview I did with Igor Sarsky back in August 2020, really almost a year ago, where he had done some research and found on two ONA sites, and I think they're in the last part of my book, two ONA sites had and used the smiley face logo. So that should tell you, and if you read my book, you can see this idea. You talk about who's going to run this town tonight. There's all kinds of ideas about the sinister tribes. They want to replace the mundanes. They want to replace the rule of law. They're a law unto themselves. They have a law of personal honor. I mean, if you see these ideas where these cells or Nexians really consider themselves a law unto themselves, and what are they doing? And almost all of the crimes that the ONA is involved in all take place at night. So, and there's a lot of strong themes within the ONA of water rituals, beings under the water. I mean, and you can read them in my books. Some of these ideas or some of these stories that they have are very, very, very strange and do overlap with kind of the phenomenon of smiley face killers, no doubt.
Well, you're doing good work here. That's another interesting book I've read from you on the this global death cult. I want to thank you for joining the show again, giving us your time and thoughts. What links can I share with the audience? I'll put them in the show notes, of course.
Great. Well, I mean, you can buy a signed copy of the book through William Ramsey Investigates. It's also available on Amazon. I've also done 5 documentaries on Vimeo. I can send you the links to those if you put those in the show notes. And then I'm doing a lot of interviews and stuff on my podcast, William Ramsey Investigates. People can check that out as well.
Awesome. Okay, I'll put the links in the show notes for all that good stuff. Thanks again. And, you know, stay safe out there. I know this isn't like the safest territory to tread in. So
no, definitely not. Yeah. So I, you know, I keep a low profile.
Right on, man. All right. Well, thanks again for coming back. I appreciate it.
Great to talk with you.
Whoo, there you go. Coming with the heat. William Ramsey, always coming hard in the paint. We talked about this whole book, but I assure you there's a lot more. You can get his book, Global Death Cult, The Order of Nine Angles, Adam Waffen, and The Slaughter of the Innocents. I will put links in the show notes, or you can go to IlluminatiWatcher.com and find this post, and you will find the links to get, you can get the signed books right from William Ramsey. Go to WilliamRamseyInvestigates.com. That's got a jump off for the signed books, for his videos that you can rent or buy, and his podcast. I'll also put a link to that Lenin occultism stuff and to our 2018 show about the smiley-faced killers. And 9/11 is the new Aeon. Very appropriate. So check all that out. And thank you for listening. If you like the show, drop a review. I'm reading all of them October 31st. Until next time, you know what to do. Stay woke.